Hello, boys and girls. It's wonderful to be able to speak to you, even though we're all under lockdown. Today, I'd like to start a little study of two verses. I'll read them out to you. One's found in the Old Testament and the other is found in the New Testament. The Old Testament verse is in Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 13. Do look up your Bible for this verse. Isaiah chapter 41, the verse 13. Here's what it says. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And then the New Testament verse is John 10:28. And it says, I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now what I'm going to play to you is part of a sermon I preach on these two verses. And I entitled the sermon, Those That Are Taken by the Hand to Heaven. I hope you enjoy this first study and that you will follow carefully what is said. The Lord bless you. Now we're turning to Isaiah. We're turning to the chapter 41. I'll point out to you a text that has been laid upon my heart. It's the verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And just in case the text feels lonely, I read you out another one that's very closely related. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 10. And the verse 28, where the Savior says, And I give unto them eternal life. He's speaking of his sheep. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In both of these verses, the hand of the Lord is mentioned. In both of these verses, we see that he has a hold of the hand of his people. They are held in his hand. I'd like to speak on the subject, those that are taken by the hand to heaven. Those who are taken by the hand to heaven. In modern terms, when we speak of someone who has been taken by the hand, we usually are referring to someone we believe is being favored by those who have the power and the ability and the authority to bestow special privileges. Then the Christian is someone who is being taken by the hand, and that by someone who is of absolute power and authority. The privileges that the Christian enjoys as a result of being taken by the hand are of the highest order, for they are favors bestowed by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no one more privileged, more favored than the Christian. No one more favored than the Christian. They are being taken by the hand to heaven. And I want us to consider just how favored the Christian is as God lays hold upon them, takes their hand, and starts for heaven, thus holding on to them. Here is the Savior speaking to us, Isaiah 41, verse 13. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. I would suggest to you, first and foremost, in these words, you have an illustrative picture of what true conversion is. You know, despite the fact that the Bible is filled with information about true conversion, out there in the world, there is many a false notion. Indeed, there's more false notions about true conversions than there are proper understanding of what true conversion is. Well, we have a picture here just of what true conversion is. True conversion is the result of the Lord acting. Not man acting, but the Lord acting. He is the initiator of that which results in the conversion of the sinner. Perhaps we could illustrate it by reminding you of what happened in the life of the man known as Saul of Tarsus, but who is better known as Paul the Apostle. He was riding from Jerusalem toward Damascus with authority in his hand to persecute every Christian in that city that he could get his hands upon. That was his intent. And boy, he was a zealous persecutor. He was hungry to get about the task. And then you know what happened. The Lord intervened, broke through the clouds, appeared in his glory unto Saul of Tarsus. The initiative began with God, not with Paul. Paul was riding down the road to hell. But as a result of what the Lord did, he started for heaven. And true conversion is the result of what the Lord does. And here in this verse, the Lord says, I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand. He reaches down into the life of the sinner and he grabs him by the right hand. He grabs him by the right hand. I've given you one illustration. Well, let me just give you one or two more very quickly. The book of Psalms, which is a book in which the experiences of a number of God's people, chiefly David, are recorded, and recorded for our instruction and our understanding of how it is that God works amongst men. Psalm number 18 and the verse 16 says this, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. The picture there is of a man being rescued from drowning. And again, the initiative is taken by the Lord. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You please learn that. Learn that. You have a good grounding in theology. Turn to the Psalm 40. Psalm 40, the verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He. Again, is an underscoring of the fact that what happened to the psalmist was the result of God acting. God acting. He took the initiative. We have an image here also in the taking of the hand of a work of persuasion. God doesn't drag you to heaven like a policeman dragging someone off to the cells. No, God doesn't drag us to heaven. He takes us by the hand and we are persuaded to follow him. The touch of his hand persuades us. The moving of God in our life, whereby he touches us, touches our mind, touches our heart, and we are persuaded as a result of that touch from heaven that we need salvation and that God in his mercy is reaching down to lead us to glory. Have you ever felt the persuasive power of God? Have you ever felt that moving of his spirit in your heart? Have you ever felt yourself being inclined to think upon conversion? Have you ever felt God put his hand upon you and gently moving you onto the path that leads to heaven? I think that's suggested here. God says, I, the Lord, will hold thy right hand. I'll take hold of it. When the child takes your hand, it's ready to go where you want to lead it. I know that. The day and the hour God put his hand upon me, there was wrought in me a miracle. Felt my heart persuaded to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. You know, I was converted in a house off the Shore Road in Belfast on the 5th of April 1964. I never had been in a gospel meeting. You have heard more gospel than I had ever heard. I'd never been in a gospel meeting. But I had, by the providence of God, stepped into a railway train in York Street Station just a week before, in company with a friend. We were going to Port Rush. We were going by train, because both of us had lost our licenses. So we were traveling by train. Oh, the providences of God. Because as we stepped into the carriage, just as the train was leaving, and that in itself meant that we didn't have any choice in the matter of where we were going to sit in the train. The train was already beginning to move when we jumped in. And we jumped into a carriage containing five girls. Five young lassies, the same age as ourselves. But there were five Christian girls. And there were five good Christian girls, because they began to witness to us. And believe me, I wasn't ready to listen to them, and I told them as much. And thankfully I can't remember all I said during the hour-long non-stop journey. We couldn't get out of the carriage. It wasn't a train where there was a corridor and you could move from one compartment to another. It was just one compartment and that was it. You had to sit there. And again, God had so organized. And we had to sit for an hour. And as we were leaving that little carriage, that little compartment in Port Rush, one of the girls, her name was Hazel, said to me, "You have just abused us the whole way down here. But just you remember this, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man." I remember shrugging my arm and removing her arm from it, looking at her, probably glaring at her would have been a better description, getting out, never even answering her, totally unmoved by what she'd said, totally unmoved. So much so that when the weekend ended, I never thought about her or what she had said again. We were back in the station heading back to Belfast, and we were with a bunch of characters and were laughing and whatnot, and I spoke, there the girl. We watched where they went in to the train, and we went as far away from that compartment as we could. Never thought about what they said. Really, I never thought about what they said. Never thought about even having met them until Lord's Day evening, the 5th of April. And God spoke, "My spirit shall not all strive with man." But it just came out of the blue. And what's more, I knew what it meant, which was strange indeed. I knew what it meant. I knew that when God speaks to someone and they refuse to listen, God will not go on speaking, but he'll leave them in their rejection. And I knew that. And I trembled. I went up to the room, for I was staying with that lad in his home, and I went up to the room where I was staying, where I was sleeping, and I got down at the bedside, and I prayed as well as I could. I said, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Didn't seem much, and for a Church of Ireland person who was used to longer prayers than that, I thought, that doesn't seem adequate. So I just had to pray it again. I must have prayed it 50 times. And I got up on my knees and I didn't know. Has God heard me? Has God answered me? I went downstairs. And at that moment in came a lot of his family and relations. There had been a death in the family. And consequently there were a lot of friends calling. And as they came in, he said to them, one and all, because they were Methodists, and I think there was a lot of them who were real Christians, and he said to them one after another, he just got saved, and they were all pumping my hand, congratulating me, and I was standing there in abject misery. Am I saved? Well, we will leave our study there, but we'll return to it again the next time I'm with you. The Lord bless you, one and all.